But the thought that particularly struck me was this. It was not a man who just said or preached something, but a man sent from God. And the simplicity with which he preached the word must have overwhelmed everyone. There is such depth in it. And as I said, I was blessed, and I hope that we will all be blessed. But one must be attentive. You have to go along on your inside and be open before the Lord. Before I begin to translate, I would like to warmly welcome everyone, especially our dear brother from Kinshasa, Zaire. As far as I know, I have eaten at his house. You can see him there. God bless you in our midst. We will ask him tomorrow to greet the church briefly. Today we will not have time because we want to translate. God bless you richly. We are grateful for everyone who can be here, for every brother, for every sister. And I believe we are not traveling far just to see each other here. We travel, we come to have an encounter with God. And we hope that this sermon tonight will bring about faith in us. And if it is present, it will strengthen and build us up, because we all need that these days. There is no one who already carries faith with them and brings it with them, but faith cometh by hearing. And as surely as we hear the sermon, so surely does faith come into our hearts. And then God will also confirm this faith. We will now sing "Only Believe," and then I will translate, because it will take almost 1 hour. Please be patient. Time is short.
Glaube. Now let us bow our head just a moment before we open His Word. Most gracious Lord, we are happy this morning for the privilege that we have of standing in Thy presence, looking up to Thee and calling Thee our Father. When we remember in our Scriptures that Thou hast said, "Pray ye, our Father who art in heaven," to know that we are altogether impure. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and come to the world speaking lies. And such a miserable wretch as we, and yet by the blood of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, through the unmerited grace that we have been given, we have the privilege of looking up and saying, "Father, oh, how we thank Thee for this." And today we would ask You, Lord, to search our hearts as we worship. We come here for no other purpose but to worship Thee and to see in this great day that we're now living, when seemingly that everything has failed, but there's one sure thing that can never fail, that's Jesus.
Amen.
For He said to us when He was on the earth that heavens and the earth would pass away, but my word shall never fail. What an assurance that we have then to rest our soul's eternal destination upon His Word. And now as it has been given to us in the form of a book called the Bible, know that it was written by the Holy Spirit and can only be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. May He come now over this written Word and speak to mortal lips, to mortal ears, and give eternal understanding. Grant it, Father, that it might stir our hearts to love Him more and to have better fellowship with Him, to bring us to a close communion. Then we would ask You this morning, Lord, that there is many sick and needy here in the church and throughout the land. May we receive the benefits of His striping, of His body upon ours today. For it is written that He was wounded for our transgressions. With His stripes we were healed. And as David of old cried out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquity, who healeth all of thy diseases." Grant today, Lord, that in this worship, that every person here that's in need of either thing, salvation for their soul or healing for their body, may we draw the benefits of this great supreme sacrifice today.
Amen.
We submit ourselves to Thee now, Lord, and we pray that You will speak through us and will hear through us and answer prayer. For we ask it in the name of Thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen. There is so much good in the Word of God, till it is a hard thing for any person to ever select a certain scripture. When I am reading the Word, I'll say, "This sounds so good, I'm just going to underline it." Then when I go to the next service, I'm going to preach on this subject. And I'll sit down for a few moments and I'll listen to the Spirit as it speaks. Then it won't be but just a little bit till I'll be reading a little farther. And I'll find something that even sounds better. And I'll underline that and say, "This is what I'm going to speak on when I go to church next." And the first thing you know, my Bible is marked up with certain things I'm going to speak on when I go to church. That's how good the Lord is and how precious His Word is to His saints. And what a great privilege that we have today in this hour and when seemingly all hopes is gone, but yet to find one solid, sure foundation. That's the Word. It was upon my heart a few days ago as I told Brother Neville, or sent word to him by our sister Woods, that I was going to speak this morning upon the handwriting on the wall. It was a message the Lord gave me on a train coming back from California. But in the message it was so stirring and such an hour until leaving the people, finding the great things, even to this modern Sputnik that you hear so much about, is revealed in God's Word. And to see the hour that we are living, we are surely at the end. And then to leave the people in that condition, and then without bringing in another message to follow it to give the hopes of the church, then it leaves the people kind of wandering and makes them nervous. So I thought I would wait till the next Sunday coming back, and then I would speak on the handwriting on the wall on Sunday morning, and then on Sunday night speak on the church rapturing before the tribulation. And then if these things are so close at hand, then the rapture is closer than that is, if the church goes before the tribulation. So I'm sure you understand that it does. Now, I want to read out of the book of Revelation, in the 3rd chapter, pertaining to the church of this day. In the 14th verse, I shall read, beginning. Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now that 20th verse is where I wish to take the text to see if God will give us a context. "I stand at the door and knock." This whole message this morning that we have just read is the words of Christ Himself after His resurrection, speaking to the last church age. As we understand, there were 7 churches in that day, the 7 churches of Asia. Each one of them had an angel, and those angels were sent to guide these churches down through the age, and we're now ending up at the last church age, Laodicea. And it's most unusual to see how striking this thing is this morning, how it pertains to this church of this day. To see the conditions of the lukewarm and the indifference in the church, and how that they say that, "Oh, we are on the big program. We're building a million-dollar church. And our church is prospering. We have more members than we ever had. Our pastor's better paid. And we are better all together." If that isn't the call of the day. But yet the Bible said, "Thou art naked, poor, miserable, blind." Just think, if a person being naked and poor and miserable and blind and don't know it. Now, if he knew it, he would try to better himself. He would rush in the street to find clothing. He would try to better himself. But if he's in that condition and doesn't know it, what a horrible thing. Now, and in the face of all of it, that isn't my text. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." What an invitation to a a people that lives in this day to see these horrible sights that we're now looking at, and with such a glorious invitation, I'll stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear and open, I'll come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. What a communion, what a privilege, what a fellowship. Standing at the door, knocking. When the great artist, I can't call his name just at this time, painted the picture of Jesus knocking at the door. Any picture, before it can become a famous picture, it has to go through the hall of critics. The people who are famous artists who criticize the picture. They find all the flaws that's in it. So after this famous picture had went through practically the hall of critics, it was asked the man who gave the painting, the critic said, there's just one thing that I can find wrong with your picture. He said, you have forgotten to put the latch on the door. And the painter said, oh no, you misunderstand. If the latch was on the outside, he'd raise the latch and go in. But the latch is on the inside. The person inside must lift the latch. That's the way it is. Jesus, with all of his mercy and all of his compassion, yet you are the person that'll let him in or keep him out. You have the latch on your side. What would a man knock at another man's door for? What would be the reason? Why, it's to gain entrance. He wants to come in. He's got something that he wants to talk about or something to show you. When someone knocks at your door, they're wanting to gain an entrance or a little fellowship or something to talk to you about. That's the reason Jesus knocks at the door. What would you think that down through the ages, the many calls that's come to people's doors? Let us go back for just a few moments. Let's think of the great Caesar Augusta in the days of the Roman Empire. What if a foot soldier would have been living down in a little shanty somewhere, and Caesar Augusta would have come from his palace and went down to the little shanty where his footmen lived, and knocked at the door? What a thrill that would have been to that footman. While the great emperor of Rome was at his door, trying to get a word with him. Oh, he would have been happy. He would have opened the door and fell on his face and said, great emperor, enter into my humble abode. And whatever you see that you want, it's yours. Sure, he'd been thrilled to have had such a privilege to entertain the emperor of Rome in his day. What a privilege it would have been for a peasant in the days of Adolf Hitler in Germany, the fear of Germany. If he would have went down to a poor man's house and would have knocked at the door, and the man would have went to the door and raised up the curtain and looked, and the fear of Germany, the great Hitler, stood at his door, the ruler, the dictator of Germany, he'd say, well, I'm not worthy that such a man like that would knock at my door. Do you mean that Hitler wants to speak to me, a peasant? Why, he had thrown the door open and fell on his face and said, Hitler, enter my home. Sure, anything that's here is yours, great fear of Germany. Certainly, he would have been happy to have done it. Not only that, but he'd have been honored to have done it. To think that Hitler would have come to his door. And you have to watch the importance of the person that's knocking at your door. That has to do with it. If it was a beggar, you might have a right to close the door or not go to the door. If you had nothing to give him and you felt ill as a beggar. But if he was an important person, I'd say today, if President Dwight Eisenhower come down here to Jeffersonville today and knocked at the door of any good Democrat, you'd feel very much honored to go at the door and welcome President Eisenhower. Though you were different with him in politics, you would certainly appreciate him knocking at your door. Because why? He's the President of the United States. He's a man of great importance. And though you differ with him in politics, it would be an honor for any Democrat in this city or any other city to entertain President Dwight Eisenhower because of his importance as the President of the United States. He's a great man. Honorable man and has an honorable position. Just recently, from England come the Queen. She went up into Canada. She visited all through Canada. She came then to the United States. And there wouldn't be a person in the United States but what would be happy if that Queen would visit them. What would you have thought this morning if the Queen of England, though you're not one of her subjects, you're an American subject, but although what if she would come and knock at your door and you would see her maids and so forth standing there and she would say, I am the Queen of England. I come to visit you. What an honor that would be. Because of her importance, she's a queen and one of the greatest queens in the world. It's the Queen of England. Yet she has no power in this nation. But because she is important, you would be happy to let her in. I'd be happy to let her in to know that I had the privilege and the honor of entertaining the Queen of England. But oh, Jesus will stand at the door and knock. And we'll keep him out. We'll not open the door. We'll just let him knock. And who is more important than Jesus? Tell me who's a greater person than he. And here he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I'll come in. If you had all the Caesars, all the Hitlers, all the great men and women of the world standing in front of your door, you'd never have one all put together with nothing like compare with the one that stands at the door daily and knocks at your heart, the Lord Jesus. He wants to come in. He wants to talk to you. You're one of his subjects. You were made in his image. You are a human being that's made in the image of God. And he longs to talk to you. He just doesn't go to the great, the celebrity. He comes to the poor and needy. Amen. Any man that will hear my voice and open the door. I'll come in and talk with him. Just think what it means this morning. For the King of Glory, for the great I Am, for the one who was in the burning bush, for the one who separated the waters in the Red Sea for the children of Israel to pass over, for the one who spoke, and the sun stood still, one who formed the moon and stars and put them in their sockets to shine. The one who said, Lazarus, come forth, and a man dead 4 days in the graves, come to life again.
Amen.
Think of it. The one who went into the lion's den with Daniel and protected him from the lions. The one who went into the fiery furnace with the Hebrew children and penned the fire from them. The one who stood and said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He stands at the door of a fallen humanity, knocking and trying to gain access to the soul. And we turn that great important person away. Oh, you say to me then, Brother Branham, I'm different with you right here because I have already let him in. Well, that's very good. I'm so happy that you did that. Let him in. But then you know what? It seems to be that after you let him in the door, you've got a whole lot of little apartments in your heart. And you're welcome in the door. Just stand right here. But don't look around over my house. Could you imagine telling the fear that he could come in, but he couldn't look over the house? Now, fear, you can stand at the door, Mr. Hitler. But don't you look in this closet. Don't you look over here. I've got some little secrets that I don't want you to know about. That's the way we sometimes, who call ourselves Christians, treat Jesus. You can step in. Yes, I believe that you are the Son of God, but don't go to meddling in my business.
Amen.
That's the danger line. You got little places in your heart, little doors that enter into little secret closets in your heart. Christians have those. And many who let Jesus in is not willing to let Jesus have his way. He is not altogether welcome. If I come to your house and you welcome me in, I feel like I am your brother. And I can go anywhere I want to.
Amen.
If I'm really welcome. If I come to your house, I feel like it. If you said welcome in, that means that I'm welcome anywhere in the house. I just go right on through. If I want to lie down a while, I'll go in the bedroom. And if I want to eat a while, I'll go to the kitchen.
Amen.
I just feel like I'd be welcome.
Amen.
And what if you come to my house or out of your house and you say, now you can stand right here. But don't you dare to open that door. Don't you go here. I wouldn't be very welcome. Well, that's the way it is today with people who call themselves Christians. You say, oh, I've belonged to the church. That's good. But you see, the reason there's so much trouble in the church, the reason there is so much confusion in the church, so discontentment in the church, it's not because that Jesus isn't there. It's because that Jesus can't gain access to the places he wants to go. We have those little compartments and we say, oh no, don't touch that. Now you can come in, but oh, that's far enough. I'll join the church, but otherwise, let me run my own business. Jesus wants to be the supreme ruler of your being. And the only way that he can bless you is when he becomes your Lord. Amen. Lord is rulership, ownership.
Amen.
Who made you? Jesus. Who has a right to every place in your heart?
Amen.
The Creator. Have no secrets before him. Open up your heart. Now, let's speak just for a moment or two on some of these little doors. One of them is a little door of selfishness. Oh, we find that so much in the professed Christian's heart. Selfish. Oh, it's for me and for my group. As long as it's in my denomination, it's all right. But if it's outside, if it's not a Baptist church, or it's not my Presbyterian or my Pentecostal, if it's outside the assemblies or so forth, it's no good. Then you see, Christ can't have the rulership. He can't be Lord. If he's Lord, he's ruler. If you say, well, I'll like for him to do a certain thing for me, but if I can get so much out of it, I'll go to church if it'll make the people in my community think better of me. But you won't open this little door. I'll accept him, but I won't let him in this little place, because I've been this way since I was a child, and I feel like I'm just a little bit over them type of people. I'll let Jesus in, but I'll never go to one of them little old missions. One of those places where they all holler amen and glory to God and hallelujah. I'll let him in, but I won't go to that. He isn't your Lord. My sheep hear my voice. Then he's your Lord. He's the ruler. I'll let him in if they'll take me in the best church in the city. I don't care if I wanted to go into the barnyard. Wherever he wanted me to go, I'd want to go as long as he's calling me. I'll let him in on the ground that he's my Lord. Whatever he wants to do, let him do it. There's another little door called pride. Oh, what a horrible little black devil's is all pinned up in that heart of pride, thinking you're better than somebody else. Well, I wouldn't send my children over there. They don't dress right. The people who goes there isn't in my class. If Christ is Lord, in your heart we're all one class because of one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body.
Amen.
Pride. Feel just a little complex you have. Oh, you don't want Jesus to touch that because it would degrade your social standing in the community. I'd rather degrade my social standing in the community than to rub my name off of the Lamb's Book of Life. But they won't let him in. That little pride holds him out. Oh, Jesus, yes, I'll join the church. I'll accept you. But, oh, don't look in this closet. Because you can sit down in the chair by the door. But I wouldn't let you in this closet. Then he can't be your Lord. He's got to have access to every room in the house. Every compartment. All the little secret things of life. He's got to have access to every bit of it. Then he becomes Lord. What does he want to come in your heart for? He's to be your Lord. He's knocking at the door to be your Savior. And if you hold selfishness and pride and malice and all these things in your heart, he can't be Lord. Though you accept him in, he can't be Lord. When he's Lord, he's Lord over all. And that's what he's knocking for. Oh, Lord, he said, let him in. I want to come in and sup. What supping is fellowship. When you got fellowship one with another. How that the Lord and you are buddies. You're partners. And whatever you have, he has too. Whatever he has, then you have too. You see? He becomes you that you might become him. And everything is in common. Then, there is another little door in the heart I like to speak of this morning. And that little door is the door of faith. So many professed Christians don't want to open that door of faith. Now you say, Lord, you can come in. That's right. But I don't believe that all the Bible is right. I will take what my church says, but I won't take the rest of it. How's the Lord ever going to bless you then? How can he be your Lord and healer if he can't get your heart's door of faith open? If he can come in and you'll welcome him, he'll open that door. And he'll walk into that faith of yours. And he'll sup with you in the door of faith. Oh, I want to welcome him this morning to my heart, to every room, to all that I am. I want to welcome him at every door, swing it open. Stand there and kiss a cup of blessings with him in the door, saying, yes, Lord, all I am and all I have and all is yours. Let's stand at this door, Lord, and commune with each other. Let's have communion at the door of faith, Lord. Let's have communion at the door of pride, Lord. Let's have communion at the door of selfishness, Lord. Take it all from me, Lord.
Amen.
Faith. Oh, you say, I'll join the church. But I believe that the days of miracles is past. Then you refuse to let the Lord come in the door of faith and manifest himself to you. Oh, yes, you say, but Brother Branham, I am a Christian. I know, honey dear, you are a Christian, and I appreciate that by accepting the Lord, but you're living under your privilege.
Amen.
You're keeping your door closed. You're running from pillar to post and so forth because you don't believe. You must open that door of faith and let him in. Then he will give you the desire of your heart. He that waiteth upon the Lord shall renew his strength. They shall mount up like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it'll be given to you. Oh, dearly I say unto you, if thou shalt say to this mountain, be removed. And in the original Greek lexicon says, be raised up and thrown into the sea.
Amen.
And believe that it's being done.
Amen.
Oh my, believe that it's being done. You shall have what you say.
Amen.
Certainly. Oh, it don't have to be spontaneously. It don't have to be that way. Certainly not. Just as long as you believe it.
Amen.
That's where Christians fail today. The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Amen.
It's the evidence of things not seen. Then what would you say to it then? Now, it's not a myth. It's not a thought. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's a substance. It's actually something that you possess. For instance, I come to you and I say to you, I am hungry. I have to have some bread. And you say, what do you need? What money do you need? I need 25 cents to buy a loaf of bread. I'm hungry. And you say, here is the 25 cents. Now, 25 cents is the purchase power of the loaf of bread.
And as long as I've got the 25 cents, I've got it. It's a substance. I can be just as happy standing here with the 25 cents and the loaf of bread on Spring Street. Oh, blessed be His name. Just don't let Him come in. Open that door of faith. When He says anything, it's the truth. When His promises to you, that's the substance. When faith anchors to know that God cannot lie. It's settled. Now, I've got the 25 cents. It's not just something I imagine. I'm possessing the 25 cents. I walk out the door. Well, I'm just as happy as if I had the bread. For I've got the purchase power. And if I've got the faith, the works is finished. If He can open that door and come in and give me the faith of God in my heart, it's finished.
Amen.
When I can really believe Him, it might not happen right then. You know, the Bible said that Moses endured seeing Him who was invisible.
Amen.
Many of you have been able to see the Ten Commandments. It's been showing in Louisville for some time. Wonderful picture. Now, Moses endured as seeing Him who is invisible. The invisible he endured. That means he held out. Abraham, when he was given the promise when he was 75 years old that he was going to have a child by Sarah, it was settled. The very hour that Abraham opened up his heart and his door of faith and said, it will be done.
Amen.
And as he got older, the Bible said he never weakened in unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving praise to God. For he knew that he was able to perform that what he had said.
Amen.
There's faith. Years passed by. Sarah no different. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong giving praise to God. We who call ourselves Christians, we let Jesus in and say, well, I'm a Christian, and you can be prayed for, anointed, or do what God says to you, or He can do some miracle before you, and you can see it. And if you're not healed instantly, well, that's it. I never got it. I'll come back the next time. You see, it isn't faith. You have to let Him in. Say, Lord, here's the door. Come in and take a hold.
Amen.
Then when He walks in there, it's settled forever. I stand at the door and knock. He's trying to get in that little door of faith. If He can only work His way in there, then it's a settled thing. When I'm going with the 25 cents in my hand, it's just as good as the bread to me. For I've got the purchase power of the substance that I want. And when faith takes its hold in a heart, there's nothing can shake it. The work is finished. God has settled it. It's forever done. I go down the street. I cross over the river. I go through the briar patch. I'm getting hungrier all the time. I haven't got the bread yet, but all the time I'm going, I'm rejoicing because I've got the purchase power and the assurance that the bread belongs to me.
Amen. Thank God.
Oh, blessed be His holy name.
Amen. Yes.
When before I get there, I may have cramps. I'm so hungry.
Amen.
I may get delirious. So I'm fighting my way through the bushes like a madman. But as long as I'm holding the 25 cents, the bread got to come.
Amen.
There you are.
Hallelujah.
As long as that faith's anchored, doctors may turn me down to all everything, but I'll be there. I'll be healed. God said so.
Amen.
I'll let Him into my door of heart. My faith was given to Him and He gave me the promise. And nothing will interfere with it. It's there. Faith. The door of faith. How many Christians keep Him out? How many Pentecostal people keep Him out of that door of faith? How many Baptists? How many Presbyterian Methodists? that door. Oh, there's many doors. One more I shall speak of. And that's a door to your eyes. He said, thou art blind and don't know it. He's speaking of the church today. Spiritually blind. I was speaking the other day, which this I cannot say publicly, but the brother Stoppin there and many others, Leo and Gene and them, what's this coming to, I said. Why can't the people see these things? Why can't they understand? Even that picture should shake the nations. But not even a newspaper could pack it. What did George J. Lacey say of the FBI? He said, Mr. Branham, that'll be on 10-cent stores some of these days, but not while you're living. It never echoed. It never answered to the other day. I thought, truly. Think of the maniac in Portland. Think of the witch doctors in India. Think of the little fish, Brother Woods, on the river. Think of the things that's infallible. Amen. The proofs. And yet, I can't even go out hardly and hold a big campaign. Help back. Something would let go, but it holds back. What is it? They never knew Elijah till he was gone. They never knew many of them. They never knew who John was till he's beheaded. They never knew Jesus to be the Savior of the world until he was crucified and raised again. St. Patrick hated the Catholic Church and protested it. But after he was dead, they canonized him a saint. They never knew he was a saint till he was dead and gone. They never knew that St. Francis of Assisi was a saint. He protested the Catholic Church. He's a walking preacher with a Bible under his arm. Went down to the river to preach, and little starlings a hollering. He said, little sisters, hold your peace. I'm preaching the Word of God. And they shut up. But they didn't know that. So he was dead a long time. Joan of Arc, who saved France. The girl was a saint. She was spiritual. She saw visions. She was a spiritual woman. She heard angels speaking to her. She heard the voice of God. She saw visions. What did they say? She's a witch. Amen. And the Catholic Church drove a stake down and drove her to it and burned her, like priests did. And her screaming for mercy. 200 years later, they realized she was a saint. So they done a lot of repentance. They dug up those priests' body who burned and throwed in the river. That's a lot of repentance, of course. But they didn't know her until she had come and gone.
Amen.
Jesus said they could not believe because Isaiah said they got eyes and can't see. Ears and they can't hear. Only last night on the flyleaf of my Bible, when some time ago, in a vision that the Lord had given me, and I spoke to the church. And then he said to me, go to Africa, then back to India. I said, yes, Lord. When I went home, the angel of the Lord met me between the two rooms, a pillar of fire, light, the same one there. And he said, you go to Africa like I said go. And a year later, they talked me into it again, and I forgot it. I didn't write it down. Now, this was my boy there in Portuguese, Lisbon, Portuguese. I was stricken down, sick, all night. And the next morning, I was going into the bathtub to take a little shower. And on my road in there stood the angel of the Lord and said, I thought I told you to go to Africa first. I said, Lord God, I'm not worthy to be your servant. I said, if you will, lift your spirit and give it to another. Then not only till a few days ago, when I made arrangements for Africa this year, you're over there making it now. And last night I was reading in the vision, and God knew that I would fail it. And in the vision, I never seen it till last night. I called Brother Stoppin, Leo, and all of them around. The vision said you'll go to India first and then back to Africa. See, I wrote it myself. I wrote the thing myself. Jumped from the bed where I was sitting early one morning and seen him come in the room. And I wrote down just exactly what it said as he was telling me there. And I read it over many, many, many times and never noticed it. And last night when I called the boys, there it is, right on the flyleaf of my Bible where many, many people have read it. It said, there come a half-dressed people, and I preached to them, and they were rejoicing. Then a light flashed on afterwards and showed the white and black together in Africa. Never seen it. Looking right at it. Our eyes open. God, open my eyes that I might see. Let me look past curtains of time, Lord. Let me just see, Lord, what's around me. Let me see what's fixing to happen. When I think of the blinded human beings in this earth who see but yet can't understand, see God come into the meeting and perform the very same things that he performed when he was here on earth. See Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, perform and act and do just as he did when he was here on earth. And still they don't understand. How can it be? Because their eyes are not open. It's going to open one of these days, my friend. But it'll be too late then. The time will be gone. And you'll wonder back, you mean to tell me this? That so-and-so and such a thing was this and I didn't know it? It goes over their head. They don't catch it. Do you catch what I'm saying? It goes over them. It's right and looking for some great something to happen in the future when it's right now. And you fail to see it. God, come into my heart and open the doors to my eyes that I might see how Theopas and his friend walked along the road one day coming from Emmaus, or going to Emmaus. And on the road down there, he talked with them. He walked with them. He sat with them. And their eyes of understanding was closed. When he got inside and they all got quiet, and he did a little something that they recognized that no man could do it but him. That is after his resurrection. And quickly the Bible said their eyes were opened. He opened their eyes and they went back down the road rejoicing and saying, truly the Lord has risen, for he's been with us through the day. Their eyes opened. They had understanding. Our Jesus can come right into the midst of people and perform those very same acts. And what happens? The people will go, oh, it's such mental telepathy. Oh, he might be a spiritualist or a fortune teller. Something has happened in that manner. Oh, if God would open our eyes! Let us see what these things are. That door to the eye is in the heart. It ain't what you see with your eye. That isn't seeing, that's looking. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. You don't see it with your eyes, you see it with your understanding. You look with your eyes and understand with your heart. So the door of your eyes is in your heart because it's a door of understanding. Amen. Oh, I understand that Jesus said he would do that in the last days. I understand that these things are the sign of God. Then how different. How it becomes a reality to you. How things change. If our eyes are open, he's with you all the time. He helps you. He's standing at your door daily. But you don't recognize it. I heard a minister tell something not long ago that struck me. Was down in the south. There was an old man down there, a colored man, who he was a good old fellow, but they couldn't get him lined up with God. He just wouldn't go to church. And yet he was a good old fella. And they couldn't get him to go to church. So one day he and the minister went hunting. And he was a very poor shot. He couldn't hit nothing. So that day on the road coming home, they had shot so much game till they were just loaded down with game. And the old colored man's name was Gabriel. And he called him Gabe for short. So he was loaded down with game hanging all over him. He just barely could move. He's walking behind the minister. After a while, he punched him on the shoulder. And he said, "Parson?" Said, "Yes, Gabe, what do you want?" Said, "Sunday morning, I'm finding myself at the Mona's bench. I take my position in the church there to live the rest of my days." The parson said, "Good, Gabe. But what caused the sudden change? Why, when we've talked to you and godly, saintly people has prayed with you and persuaded you, and you've turned your heart away." He said, "Boss, you know, I know that I'm a poor shot. I couldn't hit nothing." He said, "Look at the game I got. He must love me or he wouldn't have given it to me." There you are. What was it? His eyes just come open. He realized you give him that game. Where'd it come from? The ox knows its stall. The mule knows the master's crib, but my people know not, said the Lord. Amen. Certainly they don't know where these good things come from. If your eyes were just open and you could see. Some time ago, a man was on his road to the seaside. He was going over there for rest. He wanted to refresh himself because that he loved to. Thought he would like to hear the seagulls as they flew over the water and skipped down by the great white-tipped waves as they roared and bursted in the air. And he wanted to smell the salt water. He said, "It'll be such a rest to live by the seashore for a while. I just want to rest. I want to live by the seashore to see all the things the sea has to offer. The blue skies. As it reflects from the sky to the water, how that the foam of the salt water will boil up in great waves, strike and roll." And he said, "If I can stand and look at that and hear the scream of the gull." And on his road down to the seashore, he met a man coming. And he was an old salt, an old sailor from the sea. He said, "Where goest thou?" He said, "I go down to the seashore to enjoy the goodness of the sea." And the old salt said, "I don't see nothing strange about it. The waters are just waters. The sky is just the sky. The gull is just another bird." You see, he had seen it so much until it became common to him. It wasn't thrilling to him. That's what's the matter with you people. You've seen the goodness and the miracles and the divine things of God moving and working until it becomes common to you. You don't notice it no more. In the meetings I've noticed people where the Lord and his discernment will speak right out in the audience. Just as he did when he walked in Galilee.
Amen.
Just this promise that he said he would do. And people, the first time they say, "Oh, did ever. Oh, that's got to be the Lord." The next time, it's not to come. After a while, well, just another thing. It's common. It's passed over. You don't notice it. Your eyes of understanding, your heart becomes closed to it. The thrill! The blessedness! Of knowing the risen Lord Jesus. Amen. Stand in our midst and send our soul to heights. Beyond anything in this world could thrill. It should do something to you. It should shake your faith till you'd open up every door of faith and everything else. Amen. Say, "Lord Jesus, take full possession of me now. Take me into your caring. Here, come into my heart. Take my selfishness away. Take my misunderstandings away. Take my doubts away. Open my eyes, Lord, and let me see. And take all of me and be my Lord.
Amen.
Till the church does that, we are walking in blindness. Jesus is knocking at the door, and we're leaving him outside. Let us pray just a moment while we bow our heads. While our heads are silently bowed, our faces are turned towards the dust from which we were taken, and someday this mortal flesh will have to, the results will be back to the dust. Should there be such a person here this morning that's never opened their heart in this manner to the Lord Jesus, that would raise your hands to him now and say, Jesus, be merciful to me. God bless you, mister. God bless you. Someone else, God bless you, young fellow. I'll open my heart at this time. Say, Lord Jesus, take me all, full possession. Be my Lord. God bless you, sir. Be my Lord. God bless you, lady. Be my Lord. The Lord of my pride. The Lord of my faith. The Lord of my eyes. The Lord of my seeing. The Lord of my hearing. The Lord of my appetite. Many of these things I could have spoke on, but time wouldn't permit. Be Lord over all. God bless you, lady. Just God bless you, brother. Take me, Lord. God bless you, brother. Take me as I am, Lord. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you back there. That's right. Take me just as I am and be full control, Lord. Let me not lead you. You lead me. A fellow was saying, God bless you, my brother. A fellow said he went out in the pasture and caught a pony here the other day. He put the rope around the pony's neck, then made a half hitch across the muzzle of his face and was leading the pony back to the barn. Before he got there, the pony was leading him. That's what it is. God catches us and we try to lead him. Let him lead. He knows the way. He's traveled the road. He made the road. We don't know the road, so why do we try to reason these things out? Let us just submit ourselves to him and say, Lord, you lead me. I'll follow. Maybe you've been a Christian. Maybe Christ has come into your heart, but you've never turned your faith loose to him. Say, Lord, walk in. Take all the doubts out of my heart. If your word says that, I believe it. So from this day on, I'm taking you like I want you to give me that what the brother just said, like a 25-cent piece for a loaf of bread. And in the prayer this morning for the sick, I'm going to receive you. I believe that you're going to do it. And I'll walk right on rejoicing. No matter when it happens, it will happen. Would you like to open your door of faith in your heart to him today?
Certainly a sermon that did each of us good. And we would do well to take it to heart and ask God to make it a reality in our lives and also get used to not talking after a church service so that we do not deprive ourselves of the blessing, but simply that we ponder on the word we have heard, each one individually. One person will be addressed in one area, another in another, and everyone goes into silence with God, in faith and trust. We cannot help each other anyway, but God can help us all. And you don't need my answer, and I don't need yours. We all need God's answer. Everyone, from the first to the last. And God has made us a wonderful offer. What a simple but profound sermon for us all. May God grant us the grace that we may truly open every door of our hearts. Perhaps there's a main door, and then all the different compartments within it, that we may say with a sincere heart, Lord, here I am, completely and utterly. Total deliverance, complete separation from what is not of God. Let this be the motto of my faith, and all hardship is over. So sings a songwriter, and I think he was right. As we've heard, God is a practical God. He is not a God of theory, but of practice. And what he has promised, as we heard, he has provided. The price has been paid in full. Everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to me. But first, as we heard, we must be completely available to the Lord, so that he can truly exercise full authority over us, and then with us and through us. What a challenge for all of us tonight. When the hands went up there, it simply spoke to my heart, and I thought how wonderful it would be if we could be moved in the same way by the Spirit of God, so that God's Word still speaks to us, that it has something to say to us, that we truly go along with it inwardly. If that is no longer the case, that God's Word speaks to us, what will become of us, and what will happen to us? In many, love has grown cold. But there are people who return to their first love and receive the Word, and with the Word, what was promised in it. For the Word is first and foremost a promise, a word from God. But then the deed follows the Word of God. And I believe that tonight, without exception, we should all consecrate our lives anew to the Lord and say, Faithful God, you have spoken to us. And I believe that it is true that we all accepted the Lord, but where have we allowed him to reign? Where have we allowed him to have the say? Where have we made ourselves fully available to him? May God grant grace that not a single one of us leaves here without having been addressed, and even more, without having made the decision to truly serve the Lord completely, that he may be Lord over our entire lives. Then he will bring it to pass for the glory of his name. Let us stand and pray. Perhaps we will sing together, Just As I Am. We bow our heads before our God. It will surely have overwhelmed me and all of us that God still speaks to us. And I would like to know how many of you have felt in your hearts that God has spoken personally with you and to you. Let me see your hands. There are quite a few here. God bless you. I believe there is no one to whom the Lord has not spoken. Together we come before His holy face. The time is serious. Time is short. No one knows. But we know one thing. The moment the Lord speaks, we must come, follow, and respond. When He knocks, we must open the door and let Him in, invite Him in, and then He wants to sup with us. I know that some of you would like to be prayed for, to be healed. We will pray for this tomorrow after the morning service. Today we have heard what it is all about, our connection to God, our fellowship with Him, and we all need that. It has become so cold. May God put new fire, new life, new blessings, new zeal, a real burning into our hearts. Not a painted fire, but a real fire that burns and gives off heat. Thanks be to our God. Let us worship together. Let us truly do it together. Heavenly Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for Your precious and holy word. What a blessing that we are allowed to hear it. What a privilege that You still speak to us. Lord, we admit that the condition described in Your word is our condition. Lukewarm, sluggish, blind, naked, miserable. That is our condition. Lord, we confess it and we ask You today, be merciful to us. Come in, reveal Yourself, put an end to all this distress. O faithful Lord, where did You go and no change took place? We heard it in the opening word. Is anything impossible for Me? My God, what seems impossible to us is possible for You, because You have said so in Your holy word. You have promised to gather Israel, and You ask, even if it seems impossible to You, should it seem impossible to Me? No, my God. Nothing is impossible for You. All things are possible for You. And if we believe, then You will do everything to the praise and glory of Your holy name. Faithful God, it is not we who must accomplish much. If we let You in, You will do the rest. Hallelujah. O my Lord, make room for Yourself. Make Your way into our midst, into our hearts. Raise up Your cross, Your forgiveness, Your grace. Yes, may Your salvation be revealed to the praise and glory of Your name. Beloved Lord, take every area of my life and our lives under Your rule. Lord, be Lord, rule, determine, faithful God. We no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to You. Savior, we want to be ready for the last lap, for the last stretch. Open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, and our mouths to thank You, for You have spoken to us, and Your word does not return void. It accomplishes what You send it to do. Lord, warm our hearts. May Your fire be rekindled. My God, take us under the guidance of Your Holy Spirit. Put an end to all unnecessary talk. My God, may we hear Your words and keep them and act on them so that you may fulfill them. O Lord, make us quiet, for in quietness we will be strong, and in returning and rest we shall be saved. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that this word was addressed to me. I thank you that this word was addressed to all of us. You have spoken to us, praised and glorified. Be your wonderful and glorious name. We praise the power of your blood, your word, and your spirit. And thank you that you are still at work. Worship and honor to your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.